God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints. Let us bow in reverence before him and honor him and worship him and adore him for who he is. We are faced with the fast passage of time. We are now have crossed the threshold into another new year, 2026. How many of you can reflect on the turn of the time of the change of the generation in 2000? Yes. Seems but a short time, and yet 26 years have passed. So the passage of time is what we want to focus on this morning, and how we relate to that reality in our own personal experience. So we want to look at the subject, Behold Your God in Time. Behold Your God in Creation, Time, and Eternity. Turn with me to Revelation 10. Behold your God in creation, time, and eternity. Revelation 10. This speaking, and I saw another mighty angel speaking of Christ, the glorified Christ. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet pillars of fire. And he held in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth, and when he cried, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand toward heaven, and he sware by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. In this context, we see both the inception of time and the consummation of time. When we think of time, definition of time, it's a definite, continued progress of existence of events in past, present, and future regarded as a whole. You understand that? Again, it's the definite, continued progress of existence of events in the past, creation, present, the church, and the future. And it's all regarded as a whole. So that's the essence of, that's that definition of time. Another is the progress of time as affecting people and things. Third, a point of time measured in minutes, hours, days, years, decades, centuries, millennia. Another is another definition, the whole spectrum of God's created universe from its inception to its consummation. And we see that in this verse when it says the angel stood there, Christ standing there, and he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created the heaven and the things that are there, that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. So we're looking at the span of events, the span of period of time from the creation of the world till the consummation of time, when Christ is going to return in power and great glory. And the angel will say, time shall be no more. And we are ushered into the eternal state of the abode, either heaven, where we are reigning with Christ in heaven and experiencing the glories of heaven throughout all eternity, or hell, which will be the region of the damned for all eternity. The essence of time. Time shall be no more. So it is very important that we, in this period of time which God has given us, a lifespan of 80 years and 10, or if by reason of strife they be 80, which is 80, that we reckon with the reality of God's claim upon our life and his sovereignty in the relation to where he has called us to, into being, serving, and living a faithful life before him. No wonder in Isaiah, I don't have the passage, it says, so teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because there is eternal consequence in how we are living this life in the short span of time. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes 3. It gives another definition of time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Question. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to exercise in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work of God that maketh from the beginning to the end. Verse 14, I know that whatever thing God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God shall do it, and God doeth it, and that men should fear before him. So here we see the context of time, and all it talks about all the activities that are within that context of time. But we're going to go now to, where did time begin? Someone have an answer? Yes, turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning. And we see now when it goes through the 6 days of God's creation that it is in the context of days. Day one, day two, day three, and on to day six. And in that context of days, it consists of how many hours? A day. 24 hours each day. There, God in his divine plan and his mighty power created the world, this whole universe, in 6 days. By the spoken word of his mouth, he commanded it and it came into being. He spoke and it came into existence. Everything that we're going to read about. And we want to notice that as we go through this message. Behold God, your God, in time and in creation. Turn with me to Isaiah 40, verse 9. Isaiah 40. O Zion, that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringeth good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the city of Judah, behold your God! Exclamation mark. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance? Question. Who hath directed the spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and counted as a small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh the isles up as a very little thing. And then it goes on to say, talk about the ridiculousness of idols. What are you going to liken God to? An image? Just made of brass, gold, and stone. That's what man does. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? Question. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as of grasshoppers, and he stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. The greatness of our God in creation. We're going to just go through. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. The greatness, behold the greatness of God in creation. We think behold. The call to behold means to fix upon it, to fix upon with attention, to excite with attention and admiration, to see or observe a person or thing, especially a remarkable one. Christ, the author of salvation, the one who created this whole universe, means to hold and to reach out with the eye of faith. With the eye of faith. You know, we can't understand the greatness of our God in creation outside of it being by faith. You can see the external evidence. It's a witness to all mankind. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. God's witness to all mankind. The first witness is through creation. Romans chapter 1. Behold your God in creation. It says, Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they all men are without excuse. All men are without excuse. God has placed in every man an intuitive sense of his, an intuitive sense of his being, an intuitive sense of his existence, and is an intuitive sense of his moral law. Do you agree with that? God has placed within the heart of every man an intuitive sense that there is a God, an intuitive sense that God exists, an intuitive sense that of moral law. It's written upon every man's conscience. Otherwise, God would be unjust. Just like it says in Titus. It talks about, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that by denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live godly, soberly, and righteously and godly in this present evil world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. It's intuitively implanted upon the consciousness of every person, or God would not be just. So, the witness of creation, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that all men are without excuse. The witness, behold your God in creation. Let's look at the day, Genesis chapter 1. We're just going to go through this quickly. God's omnipotence, the equality of him having unlimited power and being of great power. God is infinite, limitless, endless in his, the extent of space, energy, and size. Psalm 65:6 says, which by his strength setteth forth the mountains, being girded with power. Do you see that in this mountain range? He setteth forth the mountains, being girded with power. God is limitless in his greatness of his power to create the universe, and like we have it in existence. Let's look at it. He spake and it was done. He commanded and these were created. The whole world was created in a state of perpetual perfection. You think about that as we go through the steps of creation. The whole world was created in a state of perpetual perfection. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. God, behold the greatness of God in creation. God is the source and birth of all physical and spiritual existence of all things. Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was out without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. We see the Trinity, the whole Trinity involved in the creation of the world. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he... turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. Whom he hath appointed of all things, of whom also he made the heavens, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He was part of the creation, and he was there present in the creation. So we see God is a God of order. Day one, God created light. He divided the light from the darkness. We see in God creating the light from the darkness, the life stream aspect, the spiritual aspect that symbolizes life or light, creating light from the darkness. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, notice the life stream, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Behold your God in creation. God created light. What did that life stream mean? That he created it physically? But what did it mean in our life, in our experience? He has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Next application. So God has created light. And we see in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1, wish I could quote it. Maybe some of you can help me. John chapter 1, in him was life, and life was the light of men. Yes, John chapter 1, verse 9. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's a life stream of the impact of light, the divine source, creative power, not within this universe and giving us the sun, the light to shine by day, but also that which enters your heart and has penetrated deep into your heart and gives us a knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's a life stream. Verse 2, the waters were divided. God in creation, behold your God in creation. I should have finished reading verse 3 concerning light. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God had divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. 24-hour day. God did this. Second day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. He divided the waters of the firmament, which is the heaven, from the waters which were below the firmament. That's what he did in the second day. Light, water. We see that the life stream is God has given us the water of life freely. And you see in Ezekiel 47 where water flowed out from before the throne in the message of the gospel, and it rose to the ankles, and then to the knees, and then to the thighs, and then a river that could not be passed over. And every place that water went, it created life. It was a life source, and it was a healing source. The life stream of water. And God is going to create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. God's mercy is without limit to those who obey him. Just like it says, as the heaven is high above the earth, a life stream, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Behold your God in creation. We're at day three. Let's look at day three. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. Earth was created, dry land, earth, and the seas. He divided the water of the earth from the seas. So we have the continents, and we have the seas, the oceans. And every one has its boundary. So there was light, there was water, and then there was earth. Notice God's, the greatness of God in divine order, and the greatness of his power. He did this by spoken word, by the word of his mouth. It came into existence. And God saw that it was good. Keep reading. God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and fruit trees yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed is in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. All the herbs of the field, grass, the vegetation that's on the continents of the world are there. He created light. He created water. He created the earth. He created vegetation. Everything it takes to sustain life. And in the life stream, we think of the life stream, he created grass, herbs yielding seed, fruit yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself after his kind. Look at the life stream in 1 Corinthians 15. Beautiful passage, 1 Corinthians 15. The life stream, the power of the resurrection. But some will say, are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body which shall be but bare grain, it shall be chance of wheat, or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the earth, stars, another's. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body, as it is written. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last man, at last was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit that which was first, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and after that which is spiritual, The first man was the earth, earthy. The second man was the Lord of, second man is the Lord from heaven. A life stream. What does it take in order for a seed to produce seed after its kind and grow? That seed falls into the ground and dies. The cross principle is a life principle. And as that seed falls into the ground and dies, it bringeth forth fruit. But if it don't die, it lays in the ground and rots. Behold your God in creation, in the life stream, not only a natural stream, but the life stream. It's raised a spiritual body. Day four. Let's look at day four. Lights of the firmament, sun, moon, stars, for signs, for seasons, for days, for years. God has created the celestial and terrestrial bodies for seasons and for time and for years. And he did that in 24 hours. The moon, the stars, the sun, everything moving in its orbit. All the planets of the earth moving in its orbit. God is a God of creation. Behold your God in creation. And Job talks about this. Behold your God in creation. Job 104, 19 and 20. We're going to look at the life stream. Job 104. You want to look at creation in detail, just read the books of Job, or chapters of Job from 37 to what is it, 40? And I think there's 100 and how many references given concerning creation, because God was explaining to Job his infinite power, the greatness of his power in creation, to have Job understand his being finite. And we have the witness of God in creation. Job 104, 19 and 20. There is no Job 104. Let's look at, pardon me, 19 and 20. Yes, we go to, I have the wrong passage. I wish I could find it. Psalms 104. Turn with me to Psalms. Yeah, there we go. Psalms 104. Thanks, Glenn. Psalms 104. 19 and 20. He appointeth the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth is going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey, and they seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth and gathereth themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and his labor unto the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! Exclamation mark. In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Isn't that amazing? You know, they can predict a solar and lunar eclipse right to the day. Right to the hour. How do they do that? That's the greatness of God's divine laws that he has established, that men can be able to calculate that, and they've sent a spacecraft to the moon. How did they ever calculate all that? Because of God's divine laws. He has established seasons, he has established night and day, he has established all the laws which govern the universe and controls the universe. The greatness of God in creation. The life stream of this, I like to see in Psalms 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And then hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heavens, and his circuit to the ends of it. There's nothing hid from the heat thereof. But notice the light stream. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting a soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is a servant warned, and a keeping of them there is great reward. That's the life stream. The word going forth throughout the whole world. It's declared by the witness of nature, by that rising sun in the morning and the rising moon at night. God's divine laws established in the circuit of the heavens, the orbit that every planet moves in perfect form, perfect according to his divine command. Isn't it amazing? Behold your God in creation, but what he has done in our hearts, and that word has gone forth throughout the whole world, and it has that kind of impact and power. Day 5. Birds, sea creatures, created everything after his kind. And then man was created to have dominion over all of creation. Turn with me to day 5. Let's look at it. God said, behold, at verse 29, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. Verse 26. Still, verse 24, and God said, let the earth bring forth every living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so, and God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. After his kind. Is there anything as stupid as evolution? It's not even a theory. Theory is established on some scientific fact, right? It's just a ridiculous. What an affront to a holy, great God for man to fabricate such a lie. Not a word of truth to it. And yet it's filling the textbooks. It's filling men's minds. Everything after his kind. It reproduces after his kind. You see that in baby deer? It's everything after his kind. The beauty and the way God created everything after his kind. There is no such a thing as selection of the species and all that. and he gave them the power and capability of procreation. Man, now we want to look at man, the crowning work of God's creation, Genesis 2, 18 to 24. And God said, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. Verse 8, and the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put a man whom he had formed, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in the sight of the good for food, and tree of life in the midst of the garden, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out from Eden to water the garden. From thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that which is compass of the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good, and there is bdellium and the onyx stone. The name of the second river is Gihon, the same as all compass the whole land of Ethiopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, is a which goeth toward the east, toward Assyria, and the fourth river toward the Euphrates. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to keep it and to dress it. And then verse 18, the Lord God says, not good for man to be alone. I will make him and help meet. And the Lord God formed, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. It was on all living creatures. And then verse 20, and Adam gave names to the cattle and all to the fowl and to every beast of the field. And to Adam there is not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh thereof instead. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And God said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Created in a state of perpetual perfection. No sin. The beauty of God's creation. Behold your God in creation. A marvel. A marvel. Let us bow before him in reverence, realizing the greatness of his creation. He created man. He created man different than animals in that man has a living soul. Body, soul, and spirit. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. An eternal entity. That little baby on your lap is an eternal entity. And you look in Psalms 139 and see the beauty of the development of fetal growth and development. Amazing. Amazing. The sanctity of human life. God created every being upon the face of the earth with a living soul because he is a relational God. He wants to communicate with you. He wants you to love him where there's a reciprocating relationship. He wants that. He desires that. But the Lord God commanded the man. He gave him a free moral agent to make a moral choice voluntarily to serve him, to love him, and to adore him. But the beauty of that fact, you know, think of DNA within that one little drop of fluid the size of a pinhead is the way you look, the color of your eyes, the size of your nose, the size of your ears, the way you walk, even the way you talk. You have grandpa's nose. You have your mother's features. In DNA, you have your own personal DNA. Everything after its kind. The greatness of God's creation. that he's given us. The body has five senses: hearing, sight, touch, smell, hearing, taste. The soul is emotions, the intellect, reason, memory, the will, and the spirit is the candle of the Lord. The spirit is dead because of sin, but when you are regenerated, the spirit is brought to life, and then it's, I pray God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God in creation, behold your God in creation. So God was, man was created in the likeness and image of God. What a beautiful picture. And now through regeneration, you now bear the image and reflection of God. You're a holy people, a holy nation. You live a God tabernacles in your heart in the person of the Holy Spirit. He controls you and he manifests his glory through everything you do, say, and how you live. So the soul is a rational, intellectual, and immortal capability of man. The spirit has a capacity to communicate and fellowship with God. But in Genesis 2:16, the Lord God commanded the man, makes one, all of us, subject to a moral and spiritual government of God. You understand that? Every man has a right to make a choice. That you are subject to a moral and spiritual government of God. The Lord God commanded the man, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you do, there's going to be consequences. Marriage is so wonderful. God created, has given us divine order in marriage. He created, there's God, the order, God's divine order in the order of headship. God, Christ, man, woman, each being subject to its spiritual head. The beauty of that order and the wonder of creation, the life stream is it symbolizes Christ and the church, a relationship of Christ and the church. Behold your God in creation. Now we beheld God in time. Like I said, we live in a context. I'm 77 years old. My life won't be much longer because the lifespan is 70 years, or if by reason of strength they be 80. And then what? God has made provision through Jesus Christ that our soul has been redeemed and we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son, and we can look forward to an eternal inheritance. Behold your God in creation, in time, and in eternity. And we see that in Revelation chapter 10. Where the angel placed his hand upon the sea, which is all mankind, and upon his foot upon the earth. And there he talked about creation, but he talked about the consummation of all things. Not only its inception, but the consummation of all things. We're just going to look at that briefly. He said, behold, he is going to come. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. It's sobering, but what a glorious event it's going to be. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Won't that be something? Jesus Christ, when he rose, when he ascended up into glory, his disciples stood there on that mountain and watched him. All of a sudden, his body rose up off the earth, his feet off the earth, and he ascended up into the clouds of heaven. And there was an angel came and said, why do ye look up into heaven? This same Jesus which has gone up into heaven is going to come and so in like manner. That day is hastily coming. Do we look forward toward it with anticipation? Yes, we do. It's a consummation of all things when God, our Savior, our Redeemer, we will be taken into his divine presence to there live with him in eternal glory, or to be cast in the hell fire, there to writhe in the fires of divine, under his divine wrath. It's an eternal life stream. And the choices we are making today mean it's going to determine our destiny, whether heaven or hell. Are we looking forward with anticipation to that time when them clouds will be parted? And it's going to happen like it says in 1 Corinthians 15. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. In the lightning, it's going to be like lightning that flashes from the east to the west. Did you see it recently? That's the way it's going to be. Behold your God in creation, in time, and in eternity. Revelation chapter 6, 12 to 17. In closing, Revelation chapter 6, 12. And I beheld, and he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken like shaken of a mighty wind. And heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains of and the mighty men, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Brethren, that's a reality. It's before us. We have a short span of time to make our calling election sure, and to live an obedient life in obedience to his will and manifest his glory. What does it say in Revelation chapter 21? May this be our answer. Behold your God in time and creation, time and eternity. Verse 17, the spirit of the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecies of this book, if any man added unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and of the things that are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. What is our response? Let's hear it. What is our response? Surely I come quickly. What is our response? Huh? What is it? Say it. Even so,